Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Let the spy fall, because when it crumbles, it'll be time to talk about Doctor Who. That's right, we get to make Adele jokes because it's an all James Bondy episode with crazy reveals on this New Year's Day special for Doctor Who. Let's get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
Hey, Whovians, welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Doctor Who After Show. It's been so long.
It's been so long. The opening intro music surprised us.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, this is new. Oh. It's a dubstep drop.
It shouldn't surprise me.
It's great.
This is the AfterBuzz TV theme, you guys.
I know. Yeah.
But welcome back. It's been literally a year since we've seen you guys.
To the day, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I refused to talk to either one of my co-hosts until Doctor Who was back. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We are talking about Season 12, Episode 1, the New Year's Day special. Which is titled Spyfall Part 1.
Yes.
It's a part 1 despite the fact that it's a double episode, or a 1.5 times episode.
1.5 right. times?
Because it was an hour and a half air time.
Oh, okay. I watched it on the app, so it was only 59 minutes.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah,
because
a
normal episode would be at 45 minutes. This is an hour, so it airs over 90 minutes.
But in the
minutes.
BBC, it's just a solid 59, right? They have shorter commercials or no commercials for it, right?
I don't know. I live in the United States.
Well,
so
for the UK fans, let us know.
Yeah, but they do like keep it. It's usually when we watch it, it's usually an hour, so they don't cut out stuff.
This was a longer episode.
Yeah.
They're just like, it's Doctor Who, it's New Year's Day. What the hell else are we going to air?
You're like, you know what? Sherlock was an hour and a half, you guys. Every episode. Nobody said anything.
That's actually kind of a shift for Chibnall's Doctor Who, for this Doctor, because there were no multi-part episodes in Season 1. It was a big sticking point for Chibnall.
Well, he did also say he wanted the full year from 2019 to make just like longer episodes, or episodes that were... As I think more of quality,
right,
was why we had a year off.
You know what? We're so excited to talk about Doctor Who. Who the hell are we?
Yeah,
we forgot to introduce ourselves. Hey guys, I'm Zach Wilson. I'm very excited to get into Doctor Who. Adrian Snow is here.
What's up, guys? I'm Adrian Snow. I wait till the end to say my name.
Yeah, we plug at the end.
Right.
I'm Dave Child. I'm excited to be here.
Yes.
And I talk about spies and talk about aliens and all of it. I love it.
Zia, unfortunately, just due to scheduling, couldn't join us this season.
Yeah.
But we are working on who else is going to be joining us for this, not including this episode, 10-episode season.
Yes.
Which, for your planning purposes, we are going to be airing... On Sundays, we're going to be live at 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
Including this Sunday, when part two of Spyfall airs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Spyfall, I just want to know what you guys think overall, because this was like, we got a very like James Bondy episode, like as if not even subtle in the James Bondness.
They had the theme. They got very close to the theme, and they're like, nah, kidding, copyright. But they got real close in that line. I liked it. I watched it twice because my closed captioning wasn't working at first. And then when I watched it again, it activated. I liked it overall. I had a few qualms with one performance, which we'll talk about. I know James Bond is like problematic now, but I'm a diehard James Bond fan from like, double pun, from way back in the day. So Roger Moore was my James Bond, so I was here for it.
Nice. Yeah, I loved it. I had a ball watching this episode, which is nice. I thought it was like a fun episode. I thought they did a good job with not making it. I think sometimes specials, they have a tendency to make them very saccharine, make a big point in the episode.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a good job of just making a cool sci-fi adventure that did actually have some social commentary. That mm-hmm. was kind of nice, but not over the top and not something that it's like, I think we've all learned something. It was good. The bad guys were good. The monsters were good.
Yeah.
And the mystery of it was good. And it kept it going. We are watching just the first half of it, so
yeah.
It's hard to be like, do they pay off the mystery well? We don't know. Right now we're still in the middle of, why are they doing this? We don't really know.
We have that bliss of any mystery where we're like, I'm enjoying this ride. It all might change based on how you answer these questions.
Yeah.
But this was fun. And this was, I think, just like the last year's New Year's special where it was the first appearance of like unknown like villain.
Yeah.
This started to feel more like Doctor Who than last season had felt for a lot of it. Not that it didn't have very much Doctor Who qualities to it, but it was missing that familiar thing that you get when you watch a show that's been on for 60 some odd years in different incarnations. And like that's sort of the fun, is like how these things get reinvented.
Yeah.
And obviously we got a big one.
I think Chibnall was trying to just like cement his own type of way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even last year he was a bit heavy handed with like some of the social commentary, which I didn't mind, but there were complaints of like, stop it. Like, wake up, what you're trying to say, enough.
It was not that any one choice of the political commentary was bad or like wrong or anything. It was that there was a lot
there
of social commentary in
right.
the season, and it needed a little bit more like just jokey, like hokey aliens.
There was no like, I mean, there were aliens, but I think it didn't feel quite like Doctor Who anymore at a certain point for some, because it was such a social commentary heavy season, and then there was no references to anything from past Doctors.
Yeah.
Not really.
Right.
But then we got a great Dalek episode.
Yeah.
I really liked the last year's special.
Yeah.
And now we didn't seem like we were getting known Doctor Who things. And then you saw it coming.
Oh, yeah. The whole episode, like my notes are just me like being like, Cyberman? Master? No, not Daleks. Like the whole time I'm watching it, I'm seeing the people come out of the walls and stuff. I'm like, there's got to be something. There's something.
Like, so let's talk about the light people then. Because say Cybermen, it didn't even occur to me until just now, but they do have a Cybermen head shape.
No, they have a fedora.
The only reason I thought, once it was revealed that the Master was there, I was like, they're not going to do Cybermen then, because we've already done
the Master
Cybermen.
Well, I guess the only reason I think it connects is like they have as much of a Cyberman head shape as the ghosts did back in the Davies run.
Yeah, like what I liked about it is that they had that little fedora shape to it, because they have that like G-Man look to them, that Men in Black, the initial Men in Black look before Will Smith and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They had like that scary government official spy kind of look, except instead of being like all black or in the shadows, they were literally made of light.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a cool twist on that, but still having that kind of head shape and also just them being like, we're mocking you, was enough to be like, yeah, they could wear hats if they're mocking
it you. Almost seemed like they were actually mocking a previous version of the Doctor, because there was a Doctor, because it even looked like there was a scarf like at one point kind of like bouncing off the shoulders.
Interesting.
And I'm not crazy. That. There's the Doctor who had the hat and scarf, and I'm blanking on his name. Don't judge me. I'm sorry.
You're talking about Baker.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I don't know. I'm panicking. So it felt like that was a part of it. But at first, I wasn't quite sure, because they weren't originally light. They just pulled, like, whatever they came through, they pulled.
Yeah.
That
on
image.
Them. Yeah, and I couldn't tell if they even had, like, chameleon faces or something at one point. But
they might be the lizard people too at one point.
Yeah, but I think they're original. They're original because they're also basing, I think they're setting something up here where now we're going to go into multi-universe stuff. And I think that's something that they tend away from, and they do it occasionally, of course, because we've had multi-universe stuff before.
Yeah.
And pocket universes where
there's always
like,
big repercussions to that though. So
it's interesting to see what's going to happen, which makes me It makes me have kind of a theory, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I think they are building at least new bad guys.
Yeah.
I think, and I'll be kind of disappointed if they turned out to be like Cybermen or something we're familiar with, unless they really surprise us with something else.
I'd be surprised if Chibnall went for a known villain in conjunction
with the master.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's just talk about it now, since we're here.
Talk about the master.
Well, I always have a plan structure, and then we toss it away once we get started.
No, we did. We hit James Bond, then we went to Light People.
Well, we mentioned James Bond.
yeah. We mentioned all those words.
It all ties in.
We'll get back to the fun and like the silliness of this episode, because there's some great moments that like aped on the Bond stuff, but it all was leading to that big reveal that I want to talk about, and why I'm excited the show is back so we can. He's like, you should have been looking for the spy master.
You know, I hated the delivery of that line, but yes.
Oh, I liked it.
I didn't. I felt like it was like, oh, you've had me up until this line where he's like, I did say look for the spy master.
But that's such a master move too. Like that. Like he's
just
playing
because it's corny.
The villain.
Missy, who's the actress's name I'm blanking on now. Give me 1 second. I'll find it. Gomez.
She was so strong as a character.
She was so amazing as the doctor. And she handled the cheesiness of it. I mean, I will say with her and Peter Capaldi, they both did an excellent job of handling just some of those really cheesy moments that you do get stuck in when you're Michelle Gomez, when you're playing in the universe, the Whovian universe, so this is my theory. Let's just do it right now.
Drop it.
Is that we're not seeing a master that comes after Missy. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a master that comes between the time of Sim and Missy, or one right before Sim, because he's a little too manic and a little too young, which makes me think he's right after Sim to be the master we encounter as Missy.
I had a similar thought. I don't think it's they're going to do that, I don't think they can do it as close as Sim's master. I think it would have to be even further back.
Well,
I feel like we've seen
that. He does
that.
This manic thing where he hits his head, and there was that moment in Tenet where he full-on lost his mind.
Mm.
And so he just reminds me more of that. And then even when you go back to season 11, and you encounter the master and Missy talking to each other, there is this kind of vagueness about where their timelines go.
Yeah.
Because Missy doesn't quite remember jumping from Sim to Missy. So it is implied that there's a lot of time. And also, because the doctor is also out of time, because there was, 1,000 years that was added? Or he spent like 1,000,000,000 years on some planet? When he was Capaldi.
When he was trapped. Yeah, so it was that. I always took that as not real time. It was like in his head time.
But there's also this whole thing of like the doctor spent a lot of time away from the Earth and comes back. Like if you think about it, kind of between David and Matt Smith, there was a point where he spent about almost a decade away from Earth.
The doctor is about 2,000. If I remember correctly, the doctor is about 2,000 years old right now.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the time, I think 1,200 or 1,300 in like Tenet Smith.
So in Smith years, he was just approaching 1,000 or Tenet years. He kept talking about it. He was like 980 something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a point during Smith and Capaldi, during that time, where he jumped up to like 1,300 years. And then in Capaldi, he jumped up another like 700 years.
Yeah.
So that makes me think, just with all the timey-wimey stuff, where we didn't spend that much time on Earth with Capaldi, we spent half as much time with Smith.
Yeah.
Makes me think, especially because the master, again, had a ton of time to develop a human like character on Earth and infiltrate a government agency, which I was like, oh, it's a little too close to the Davies years, but
it is. I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be too close, and that he's like, oh, that's a used storyline. I think that's going to come into play.
Yeah,
I think it's going to, because here's the thing. He also dropped at the end of the episode. Like he goes through his Well, like before we keep talking about the twist, what do you guys think of just his performance in that scene? And that, like, once the master is revealed,
you want to go first? You go
first. Yeah, I mean, I just felt like it was a little manic. I also want to, before we move off from his origin exactly, I do want to. I hope it's this because I hope it's what you were talking about because it feels very Doctor Who-y. But I do want to put up the fact that they were introducing different universes now.
Yeah,
and coming from like I don't know, I've just been watching all the like. Crisis on Infinite Earth stuff. It made me, that might be where my mind is at, but I'm just like, this could be a master from a different universe or something like that. That feels like it's not very Doctor Who. It feels like another from a different time period feels like it.
It feels more comic book-y.
Yeah, but I did notice, like, I was disappointed because I was actually enjoying him and his performance and who he is throughout the episode and then the reveal of the master and then all of a sudden he's like so excited to be on the show. Like I just to me it just read as like an actor being like and looking even like holding something and being like look at this and it's just
to be fair it's not his first appearance on a Doctor Who show. It is in, in terms of a canon but we'll talk about that.
Because we've met him before. We've met that at least the O person before.
No, they just like decided that they had met at some point. I kept was like literally scared,
I was trying to think of
I looked
when?
It up. There is kind of like with Martha where they do a slight thing of like, oh, I have a cousin, you probably met her. Because the actress Freema had already been on Doctor Who with somebody else. Shasta Dhawan, I want to say or Dhawan, has already been in some type of Doctor Who universe. He was in an adventure in space and time.
Right.
Where he played a different character. And so I think they're just kind of playing on that, but he wasn't O in that.
Oh,
he
so
was
I
in
thought...
the he was in the like the doc series?
Yeah.
I thought maybe he would be someone who wasn't like recruited into MI6 yet, but was still like a part of that. No, that's like that feels weird to me.
It was a little weird to like because it made us all go wait, so what episode did he pop up in that we would have met him and not like?
Well, it was also implied that he stole the identity, so we never met the original O as
but
audience.
We So either way,
I did not like his performance. So up until that point, I was here for it. He was also in Iron Fist, and I struggled to accept him as a villain in Iron Fist because he goes a little too broad with it.
Is he the guy that, like,
he's the other fist. We'll talk about
that. Okay, yeah.
Davos. But if he had played it suaver, just like a spy, just more leveled, then I would have liked it. So that makes me think that there's a reason why he did it that way, which is why it ties back to the whole Sam thing. Mm.
I liked the performance to an extent. Mm. It's part, like, again, it's going to sort of depend on what they reveal. Because he literally ends the whole... his whole speech with everything you know is a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I'm like, is he even the master? What are you about to tell us? If everything we know is a lie.
And he had a TARDIS. Does the master usually have a TARDIS?
Yeah, his house was a TARDIS.
His house was a
TARDIS. Yeah. I mean, he has stolen TARDI. he has stolen TARDISes before. Mm. So it's not that he's never had a TARDIS. And especially because we don't know when this master is from.
Right.
But that's my big thing is that this felt like an old school master as opposed to I just don't want it to step on the emotional arc that Missy went through.
Yeah.
At the,
I think it would.
It, like, well, that's the thing. If it's a post Missy, if like this is Missy regenerating into the master, it would take away everything. All the because that was whole her whole arc is this is the master realizing
and she dies
that she's like done these bad things all of her lives and is back and like I mean it's Doctor Who we could get over somebody dying
true but as of right now he killed her
I mean the master has run out of regenerations before and still gotten the Time Lords to bring him back.
I like that one line that O had about there's a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah.
Nice. We do have in the comments, Kaylee Hodson said, I honestly thought Shasta Dhawan's played the master perfectly. He was unhinged and sinister and deliciously evil with his own twist.
He was pretty evil when he pulled out that matchbook. I was like, dang.
I agree with that. Like, it reminds this is like, it's like Johnson Master, it's Classic Master. It's just like, this is a crazy man who doesn't like the Doctor.
If it's post Missy, it's a bad interpretation.
Right.
If it's before Messi, it's spot on. I just think he could have done some better deliveries. I mean, because when you think about Sim was so unhinged. She was so crazy. Some of the performances doesn't hold up. But for the time, it was like cheeky and fun and terrifying. I don't feel like there's as much humor with him, which you need as the master.
I feel like we also haven't been able. This is like and when the doctor like turns into a new person at the end of an episode. Yeah. You don't really get to see who that person is until the next episode. And I feel like this was the master turning into the master. So we see a little bit, but we're not settled into who this person is. This is a person who's like excited about the reveal. And one line I did like that he delivered was like, I've been having so much fun.
Yeah.
And I really like that aspect of like, I don't know what he's doing or why he's doing it, but I like that he's having fun doing it. So
Dave is saying is that we're just being judgy.
Yeah, well, like, and I think we can kind of settle in. I'm saying, like, give him at least until next episode, especially since 100%. This is a part one, that I feel like he'll settle into whatever master will become. I also don't know if he's going to stay the master. He feels like a temporary master to me, but I could be wrong.
Well, he is going on to be. He's also on Dracula on Netflix. That's also me shouting out because I'm going to be on the Netflix Dracula after show.
With a great billboard, Dracula billboard, becoming so viral.
Who knows?
I mean, look, the master doesn't need to be in the whole season. He could just pop in for these two episodes and not come back until next season.
Or even at the end of the season.
Yeah, something like that. So he wouldn't have had a huge commitment. So it could be that he's coming back. That's the thing. I like that he was having fun. Like, he seemed to be this master seemed to be enjoying himself.
Yeah.
And then it was when the doctor underestimated him by trying to sonic the bomb that he got mad.
Yeah.
And that really, that's what struck me as very master-like, is he was like all like, this is a blast. And the doctor insults him by assuming he wouldn't have thought that the doctor would use her sonic screwdriver.
Yeah. Right.
And he yells angrily. But then he bamps out. And the plane explodes, and we'll have to come
Maybe.
Back on Sunday.
The plane is crashing as of right now.
Well, the bomb exploded.
The bomb exploded.
I guess
exploded.
The plane
true,
didn't
true.
Explode. The bomb
yeah,
exploded.
They're still hurtling towards the Earth.
Yes, as of right now.
And she's in the upside down right now. But, like, also I kept thinking when we first saw this upside down world that people kept getting, like, zapped into, for a second, did anyone else think that she was just very tiny and in the carpet? I just felt like those are little carpet threads that were coming up, but I thought that was going to be a big reveal.
See, that's just a Twilight Zone. That's like a whole other thing. You remember that episode where they're like, turns out they're actually just action figures?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's six characters in search of an exit.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't that's seen the name of that episode. But good encyclopedic knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go back through the other parts of the episode, because we got our three companions back.
We do, yes. Graham and Ryan.
Graham.
I miss them.
I cannot call him Graham. I have to say Graham.
Graham. Ryan's coming up against another problem. It's not ladders now. It's shooting baskets.
No, he was just off his game.
But wasn't it?
He did trip on the stairs, though. You notice that?
Yeah, I just feel like, are we going to come back to his, like, his problem is never a problem.
To be fair, like, people in the YouTube comment section were like, it doesn't have to be a big thing, you guys. Like, it could be a small little thing.
I know.
But I think our biggest complaint last year was that it just conveniently came about whenever he needed to escape.
It was that they established it as a big thing.
Yeah.
And then
they never use it.
Yeah.
He needs to escape.
Yeah, but it also feels like it's something he's always overcoming, but I've never seen it get in its way.
Yeah.
That's my biggest problem. Like, I don't mind someone having a weakness.
We've had this rant before. You can refer to podcasts from last season.
Well, now we're back and it's a whole new year, and I'm curious to see where they're going with it.
So was there always something happening between Yaz's sister and Ryan?
No, that's new.
Okay.
No. And that's so that there's now we get some shipping stuff going on.
And did
here.
You also notice the way that the master looked at Yaz?
There's something going on between Yaz and I think they were setting this up on purpose. I think they were setting up a love interest between Yaz and O. Because I think it was just a way for us to start to like O. I don't know if there's going to be anything that's going to happen.
Is he even capable of that?
Yeah, I think they're just setting up. Yeah.
Well, who knows with this regeneration? Yeah.
This was that was just I thought it was good storytelling because I thought it was a good fake out for us. Yeah. I don't think I was considering him. I thought maybe he was going to betray him somehow because the whole theme is like never trust anyone.
Yeah.
So I knew someone was going to betray someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, well, we're getting pretty close to this guy, but I thought they were still going to set up a relationship because I don't know where did we last land with Yaz and Ryan. Did we ever feel like they were a couple?
They were friends.
Yeah, they never really got anywhere. Like there was a couple like questions from family members or something, but they never. It never got pushed.
No.
Really by the show in any way.
I'm curious if they're gonna either. They might start pushing it because this does feel like a Yaz. Why aren't you giving the number away?
Yeah,
they did put them off to be with each other this episode, which they occasionally did, but didn't do too often last year.
I don't necessarily get romantic vibes from the two of them.
Me neither. I don't think they have.
I think they would need to put in the work if they're going to do it.
There's like sometimes on TV, it's kind of undeniable. Like I watched New Amsterdam with Freema. This is why I'm bringing it up because she's in that. And the chemistry she has with the lead, it's like, well, you have to give this to us.
Oh.
But I don't feel that way quite with Ryan.
By the way, according to Kaylee Hudson in our chat, there was a brief moment in Arachnids where Yaz's sister was flirting with Ryan. That is where we meet Yaz's family.
Okay.
And there was a bit of a flirty.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was that, like, who is he to you? Like,
thing.
Yeah.
She's like, I always took, I when I watched that, I took it as more of like, she's trying like, hey, baby sis, what you do? Who's this guy you brought up?
Which I actually thought that's what she was referring to in the beginning of this episode. I thought it was like, is this his number? Where's his number? I thought it was like to ask Yaz about who this guy she was spending time with. Because every person they talked to was like, where have you been? What time have you spent doing? What have you been doing? And I thought she was being like, is this the guy you're hanging out with? And that's why?
Nah, I thought she was trying
to. I always got way more vibes between Yaz and the doctor than I did between Ryan and Yaz.
Been shipping that since day one. Give it to me. No, I mean, she is still, mourning River Song. But what I was going to say. Oh, Daniel Barton. So the guy who plays the tech mogul.
Right.
I thought that he was going to be the master.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they did a lot of name casting, like pretty much everyone who's supporting may not be a big name in America, but they're a big name in the UK. And Sacha Dhawan is up and rising, but like
Stephen Fry's a pretty big name. Even
so, when he showed up, I was like, oh, okay. Or one of would they do that? And I don't know what's Lenny been up to.
Stephen Fry's a big name that I was when he was only there for like a scene.
And they shot him.
I was like, was that all you got Stephen Fry for?
Sean Bean'd him, man. They Sean Bean'd Stephen Fry.
Yeah, that's too bad. What if Stephen Fry was the master? What amazing that would be.
Well, there is a whole theory as well that they're being wiped completely of their DNA. And then they said something about how, like, when the master was first introduced during the 10 years, because I read an article about this, I think on Radio Times, maybe? But he had been wiped of his DNA. So maybe they're just creating vessels for other Time Lords or
the Master. Or I could see the Master kind of change shape, like, quite a bit this season, maybe, if the Master keeps coming back or something.
That these, like, so that the light is, so then the theory is that the light people are Time Lords?
That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
You know what? Those fedora things, if that's, like, the giant red cloak things, like, they're just following up the neckline, and they just come out the top by the head.
There you go.
It kind of tracks.
You know?
Speaking of clothes, I have a question about a clothing choice that happened in this.
Bow ties are still cool.
Bow ties are still very cool.
Oh, I left both of the Capaldi and Smith callbacks.
Capri pants.
That's her thing.
She always has capri pants?
Always.
Yeah.
And boots.
They basically just took her. I liked her costume for the casino sequence, and where they were like exactly the same clothes. Just make it black and white.
Yeah,
which I liked, except for the capri pants. I thought they looked weird.
She always has capri pants.
It was so nice because
it was like a callback to the Doctor's love for bow ties. Then even the black jacket, even though it's still kind of trimmed the way she has it,
yeah,
it was a nice, like, the way it laid. I was like, oh, it's kind of a nice callback to Capaldi as well.
Yeah, I also like that she's not in, like, a dress or anything.
Neither one of them are in dresses.
Yeah,
because that's not feasible when you're a spy. Just putting that out there.
But also, I also thought it was ridiculous that they went to a tech party that was black tie. That's all hoodies.
Well, no, he's in San Fran, so there's no excuse, actually.
That's all hoodies. That's all hoodies and t-shirts.
Get like, with it.
I think they just wanted that James Bond-ness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
While they also wanted to be like, and we should talk a little bit about this, is the whole, like, Vore is kind of nodding towards Facebook and also Google and kind of big techs and how much information tech has and data and how there aren't really any boundaries for tech. And I thought that was like a good point. And creating this fake like Google search engine to kind of be the head of that.
It's like Facebook and Google had a baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was good, like, good sci-fi storytelling, and I think they did a better job in this one than they did in the Amazon episode, because it feels like they're heading towards a point where in the Amazon episode, it felt like it always kind of stopped a little short of, like, actually trying to say something, because they had social commentary, and then they fell flat.
Yeah.
Because then it became about, like, the sci-fi aspect and not so much about what Amazon or what companies like Amazon are actually doing to their employees. Which they kind of started. I mean, to talk.
Well, Amazon doesn't have the streaming rights anymore.
And well, it's like, or you know, by creating a fake one, they don't, I think
well,
you're fine.
They're losing it.
Well, you know, I did want to say the emblem made me think. That was what made me think of Cybermen at first. The O and the Vore.
Interesting.
Even though it's not quite, I know they've kind of done that. I was like, well, maybe if they're doing an updated I for the Cybermen, maybe it could be that. And then also, just to go back, oh, something. Oh, yeah, the tech party. The thing that also threw me. I was like. No Bitcoin? like, you're going to go to a tech party and nobody has Bitcoin?
Just, those you know. Chips were all Bitcoins.
They better
they
be.
They didn't say whether.
They better be.
All cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
What did you guys think, speaking of that like casino sequence, that we got a motorcycle chase with the doctor on a motorcycle?
That was great.
It was cute. I liked it. I just love everything about that scene between her and Daniel when she comes up and she's just like, so you killing people, eh? You're like, what? Like, I guess the doctor was never one for subtlety, but yeah. I just loved that. And the car chase, I was surprised to see a gun. I forget, you know.
Right.
The doctor hates guns so much, and they've made it like such a point that they don't even really show guns as much.
At that point, they were also building up. I was surprised because they were building up that Daniel character is such a bad guy. I thought he was going to turn out to be a good guy. Because there seemed to be so much, like, you know, that fake that tends to happen in Doctor Who, where it's like, look at how bad this person is. Look at how bad this person is. They're really doing this for the good of humanity.
That could still be the case, though. We got a part two.
I don't think he's real. I don't think Daniel Parton exists.
93% human.
Right. So but where did he blipped away? He blipped away because, and I guess he's with the master.
The master.
I mean, does your DNA get corrupted when you go into the upside down?
Maybe he's a time lord.
I think he's being controlled by the master, and he's like a master puppet. So maybe that 7% is something that the master put in.
I mean, the time lords are around again.
And it was implied that they're not good.
Like, the time lords?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious what Chibnall's thoughts on the Time Lords themselves are, because they are in this sort of nebulous, they're back, but they're not really back. Like, they're not just, like, out there doing their thing. They're still sort of in hiding, but they're available if we want to use them, because we've been to Gallifrey since.
Yeah, I think Moffat kind of left it with kind of ambiguous, but, like, the 50th anniversary, it was, I got the sense. Or not even the 50th, Peter Capaldi. I got the sense that they weren't always to be trusted.
Oh yeah, the Time Lords are manipulative, and like there's some of them that are good. Some of them, they're like any like complicated
like
race of people. Yeah.
What's in the chat?
Surf Widow in the chat says that the light beings, and in parentheses cybers, LOL, saved the Doctor at the end after the Master had left. So maybe they hate being under his control. So maybe. They were actually saving the Doctor rather than the Master wanting to pull the Doctor out.
Maybe. But why did they laugh at him? Or her? Why would they laugh at the Doctor?
Why would they laugh at the Doctor?
They were like, because remember in the room, they're like,
oh, yeah, when, before, but maybe, I don't know. They could be kind of flipping sides in this part two. Yeah. They could be kind of trying to, like, be more on the Doctor's side. I'm also curious about exactly what happened with Yaz and that light being and how they switch places and why. Because that also seemed.
And did that change? Yeah. So she now like.
Is yes. Yeah. Woman? No one was like.
Nobody was scanning enough. Ooh, my voice popped back in for a second. Nobody was scanning enough. And that really bugged me.
Especially since, coming back. You got to find out like if Yaz is still 100% human.
Wouldn't the doctor scan? Oh, like if you're suspecting that something is wrong in MI6.
Right.
Like, come on. This is like level one spying.
If someone is 93% human, you start scanning the people around
you. You scan everybody. Like, I'm just saying because that's a thing, you know, like even the opening shot, which just with all the spies and disappearing, I was like, oh, this feels kind of like Mission Impossible. And I think they kind of did do this in Skyfall or one of them recently where everyone – is that Skyfall, the one where he goes – like he gets shot and goes undercover and goes underground and then they kill
– That's the –
Skyfall is one after that.
That's Skyfall. Really kill him?
Whatever. We're not here to debate.
Skyfall. Really kill him. But that's when he's like gets shot and all kind of stuff. So it felt like they're setting up that nobody can be trusted. So if no one can be trusted, you should be scanning all the bodies.
Yeah.
That's my little rant. Yeah, for the season.
I agree. And also that would have been an interesting. Maybe that would have been an interesting reveal, but I guess it would have happened too soon.
Yeah.
Unless the scanner, they tricked the scanner or something, then it could be even like more insidious of a thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did like these guys though. I did like whoever these light beings are, and I want to be able to have a name to call them.
I'm looking forward to seeing on Sunday what the truth is behind these creepy light beings.
You know what my theory is that they're part of a giant computer. My theory is that they're all ones and zeros.
And that then the upside down is a microchip?
Yeah, and because, well, I think what's happening is when they see someone, they say obstacle. That tends to be a code thing, I believe. So, like, I think they're all lines of code. So they're basically just a giant, like, they're just giant digital binary systems that are working out something, and I don't quite know
what it is. The next episode is Tron.
Yeah.
Original, right?
Maybe.
I mean, the music from the remake or the sequel was slapping.
Yeah,
but the movie.
We keep getting so off topic. But hey, as we wrap up, we are going to be doing it again this season. So I think we should take a moment and talk about all. Yeah, there's so many cool people on this episode. So let's just get into who's who on who. Adrian.
Yeah.
Who
I did
you?
Have it. I had a sound thing for that. We'll talk about it after the show.
I just sang.
There we go.
Song.
That's it. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can legally do that.
Can we just clip out Dave? And
okay, so let's go ahead and start with Stephen Fry. He's just a comedy mainstay in the UK. You've seen him in a bit of Fry and Laurie with...
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie. Thank you. I was like, Matt Laurie?
Hugh Laurie,
who we know as House over here. You've also seen him in Jeeves and Wooster, also with Hugh Laurie. Mm-hmm. And then he's been recently in Danger Mouse. I'm sure I'm giving
Danger
you
Mouse.
The bare bones of his career.
He was in Veep as well.
Phenomenal career.
He reads the second best version of the Harry Potter audiobooks.
That is a big thing that was listed. And I was like, I'm not going to name that. But anyways,
well, I did.
He played C, and he's amazing, and he's got some really interesting just viewpoints, and he talks a lot about like just his struggles. He's a really cool guy. Next up is Sir Lenny Henry, who played Daniel Barton. Now I know Lenny Henry from when I was a childhood, from my childhood, from a show called Chef, where he played. A chef. It used to come on after Mr. Bean on like PBS or right before Mr.
Never
Bean.
I've never seen it.
And it was just like a comedy about him being a chef with his
right around
his staff and everything.
Upstairs, down, or what was that other one where it was like the lady with the purple hair?
I don't know. It was like Bean, Chef, absolutely fabulous. And for some reason, my parents in Texas always had me watching these shows. But he was known for that. He's also known as co-founder of Comic Relief, which is a big thing in the UK. He was also in Broadchurch for a few episodes as well. And then he was in this movie called True Identity. And I remember it from my childhood as well. And I will not post a picture from it. But you go ahead and you look it up and you have fun with that because he's... Black African American man going undercover to avoid gangsters in whiteface. So, yeah, that was that movie, True Identity. And then lastly, we have Sasha Dawn. Oh, my God, I'm going to get it right. I swear, I promise you, Sasha. Sasha Dawn, who plays O / the Master. He was also, as we mentioned briefly, in An Adventure in Space and Time as Boris Hussein, a kind of a documentary spinoff during the 50th anniversary time. And then he also is in Iron Fist, where he plays Davos, which is his like childhood friend who grows up to also have his own
Steel Serpent.
Iron Fist, the Steel Serpent. And then he will be in Dracula, which I will be a host on coming up this week. Netflix, Dracula. After show.
Sweet.
All right. And that's it. Oh, and then also I just wanted to talk about the iterations of the Master, just because we're ending with this new introduction of the Master. Clearly, he's usually a white dude majority of the time. So it's nice to see that. Sometimes a skull face.
Uh-huh.
He's gone from being like a skull face white dude to a woman to now a brown man. And so I'm just proud of that evolution.
Sometimes a sparkly CGI goo.
Yeah, and I even included too. Like a non-canonical Eric Roberts holding it down. Because, you know, shout out. Okay.
That's her.
Yeah. So I'm very interested to see where this goes on Sunday. I mean, we've been doing it all episode, which we do every episode.
Every episode.
But let's just real quick, looking ahead at what we saw on the previously on, let's do some predictions before we close out
your
the day.
After Buzz TV predictions.
Ooh, there's that bug. What are you guys thinking? We saw a little bit of stuff in the preview?
Yeah. I mean, the preview was basically just like, lots of stuff happens. They're still in the plane, you know. I think they're going to get out of that plane pretty fast. I don't think they're going to die in a plane. I'm going to go that far. But I think because it's also a search engine is the big kind of bad with the Daniel Barton. Mm-hmm. So, like, and Vore. And I feel like whoever these light creatures are going to be tied to that somehow. I think they're going to be information computer things somehow.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how.
You know what it could be building off of? There was a thing a couple of years ago where Google had created an AI to translate, to do translations across different languages. Mm-hmm. And it got so smart that it had created its own unique language.
Right.
And, like, to make the translations easier. It just, like, but it was an AI, and it had done this on its own. And Google was like, oh, hell no, shut it down.
AI.
But it could be that, like, you play something like that, and it, like, came to life through the search engine code, created this little alien bit at the end, and...
Interesting. But they do want to take over the universe, rather. So it sounds like they're from another universe. But...
You could argue that the internet is another universe.
I think that's actually a good point because there's also watched the last season of Silicon Valley and they talk about AIs dealing with like the actual internet and search engines and how that could be a problem. So I think they can play off of that really well.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say real quick because I know we got to go. The doctor did say something about them being on a separate plane. So I think they're playing more so with possible multiverse, which you could still tie into it being the internet too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I had so many theories. I'm not going
to
say anymore.
We'll have to see. I've been predicting all episode, but we've got to say goodbye for today. But we'll be back because you get two episodes this week of Doctor Who and the Doctor Who After Show. So please join us this Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific to talk about Spyfall Part 2. Until then.
What's your name?
I'm Zach Wilson.
Where can they follow you?
At that Zach Wilson on all the social medias. What about you, Miss Adrienne Snow?
Oh, perfect. Because I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on all the social media at Miss Adrienne Snow.
Hey, how about me? My name's Dave. My name's Dave Child. You can find me at MrDaveChild on the Twitter and the Instagrams and also DaveChild.com. Because you know what? My name's Dave Child.
Hey, guys, this has been the Doctor Who After Show. Welcome back, and thanks for geeking out with us.
Bye-bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.